Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. And it's like they knew exactly what I'll be preaching on tonight, because that is the message. We need to learn to praise God, if nothing else, but for salvation, the precious blood that cleanses us from our sins and reconciles us to an almighty God. What a tremendous blessing that was and that is. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, look with me to the book of Genesis chapter 29. Genesis chapter 29. Sunday nights we've been looking at little-known Bible characters that have a message for us. As you study the Old Testament stories, they're more than just literature. It's more than just stories. It is the very words of God giving us illustrations and examples through the lives of different ones for us to learn biblical principles from. And then, of course, we know that some 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies and to establish New Testament Christianity, which goes hand in hand with God's plan for mankind from the very beginning. And it's just a blessing when we understand those things. And so as we look back, and we've been going back and forth, we'll take an old, little-known Bible character out of the New Testament, and then we'll go back and take a little-known Bible character out of the Old Testament. But the Bible character that I want to present to you tonight is one that you might know the name, but I don't know that you understand the full story that we'll be studying tonight, but that is Leah. Leah, the Bible character of Leah. So if you'll stand with me tonight, we're going to be reading a few verses here. Starting in verse 16, we're going to read down to verse 35. Genesis chapter 29, verse 16. And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. They seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for a handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah, and he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve thee with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so, and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaiden, to be her maid. And he went in unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, I want you to pay attention right here. Now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight, we thank you for what we've already experienced as being in church and in thy presence. And I pray now, Father, as we just bow before you and we ask God that you speak to us through the preaching and the teaching of thy word, that you would give each one here that ear to hear exactly what you have for them. Anoint and empower the preaching of thy word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now understand, first of all, before we go any farther on this, it was never God's will for a man to have more than one wife. Although in the Old Testament times, they did. It was somewhat accepted in the Old Testament. It was something that was not ever in God's perfect will, but God allowed in the Old Testament. When Jesus came some 2,000 years ago to establish New Testament Christianity, he made it quite clear that it has always been God's will for one man to have one wife and one wife to have one husband. He made that very clear in establishing New Testament Christianity. So I think that in some of these cases we can see, especially in this situation with Leah and Rachel, we can see why you only ought to have one wife. Okay? And there's other cases of that in the scriptures, but get that clear. It was never God's will, but he allowed it. Now, there's several reasons for that. New Testament, Old Testament did not have the full revelation of the will of God. We have the full revelation of the will of God because we have the completion of the Bible today. In the Old Testament, they did not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Their bodies were not the temple of God. In the New Testament, as we get saved, then we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit if you're saved, and that makes your body a temple of God, which completely changes things. Okay, and so we know there's a few things there, but before anybody questions, or the children, you always get that question, well, why was they allowed to have more than one wife? It was never God's will, okay? And but anyway, we still have the stories of the Old Testament to learn from, and this is one of them. Now, Jacob, if you remember, he was known as the deceiver. He deceived his father, Isaac, to receive the blessing and over his brother, Esau. And so Jacob deceives his father, Isaac. Then he has to run and flee the land because of Esau was going to kill him. And so we find that now he runs, and he runs to this place of Haran. And he has an uncle there, a distant uncle named Laban. And so he looks to find Laban. When he finds Laban, then he goes to work for Laban. And he works for 7 years, the first 7 years there, for Rachel. The moment he laid his eyes on her, we find that the Bible says that she was very beautiful and well-favored. And so it just overwhelmed him. Her beauty overwhelmed him. As soon as he seen her, he said, that's going to be my wife. And so whatever it would take to have Rachel as his wife, that's what he was willing to do. They bargained a little bit there. It was determined that he would work for 7 years. 7 years wages was so that he would be able to have Rachel as his wife. And so for 7 years, he is working hard. And for 7 years, he is just looking forward to the day that he would be able to marry, in his mind, the love of his life, Rachel. Now, Leah, she would be the older sister. And the Bible says about Leah there in verse 17, she was tender-eyed. Good personality. if you're looking to describe somebody, especially if you're trying to set somebody up on a date, you know, and you think, well, now they have to look over the outside, maybe appearance, to realize there's a lot of beauty inside. Amen? And that is so true. And sometimes you'll hear them say, well, she's just has a great personality. Well, the Bible says she was tender-eyed. Somewhat the same thing, I believe. Because then it goes on the other side of it and says Rachel was the one that was good to look at. I mean, she was a beautiful, well-favored daughter of Laban's. And so it was obvious that Jacob, not knowing them, but just looking at the outward appearance, would be drawn to Rachel. Okay, so he wanted to work for Rachel. Jacob is deceived. A lot of people say this is what this whole story is about. Jacob is reaping what he has sown. Jacob, the deceiver, now gets payback. And I believe that's some of it. There's no doubt he gets paid back, because you can imagine when he wakes up thinking that he's got Rachel as his wife and finds out that it's not Rachel, but it is Leah that is his wife now. And so we find that Jacob is deceived by Laban. Now, the one here that I think is mostly affected by this, and some would say that no, it would have to be Jacob. Well, he's the deceiver. And he would have been affected by it. Some would even want to take the side of Rachel, because she was looking forward to, and no doubt they were in communications and they had been talking and preparing what they were going to do with their lives. For 7 years they had been looking forward to this marriage. And then the night before, her dad comes in and says, "No, I'm not giving you to him. I'm going to give him your sister." No doubt that would have affected her. But the one who was mostly affected by this, and I believe possibly one of the saddest stories in the Bible, would have been Leah. If you stop and think about it, none would have been affected like Leah. First of all, her father has to deceive someone to get rid of her, to get her married off. Amen. How would you feel if you had, if your dad had to pay somebody to ask you to marry them? Leah had to come to that realization that her father wanted to deceive someone, and by deceiving him, passing on his eldest daughter first to Jacob. Wow. Her own father, her sister, would now look at her like she never looked at her before. You want to get two women really at it, going after each other, is put a man in the middle that they both want. Amen. We had more problems in the youth department over the years, possibly because of these types of dating relationships. You know, and of course the girls, the cute guy comes into the youth department, or worse than that, a cute girl comes into the youth department, and they have reservations about accepting her in because she's going to take all the boys. No doubt, there's these types of things through the years. This happens. And of course, now that's in other churches, not our spiritual youth department, no doubt. They don't have those kind of carnal thoughts, no doubt, no doubt. Brother Aaron's done a good job in presenting spirituality in there, you know. Look at the inside. That's most, and it is, don't get me wrong, but they have a tendency to look more on the outside appearance. Yes. Well, her sister now, how would you feel? You've been 7 years preparing to marry somebody, and the night before, your dad gives him your sister to marry. I don't know how that would feel. But I know it wouldn't be very good. Wouldn't be a good feeling. And then her husband wakes up after their honeymoon the first morning with fright. That's not how you want to start a relationship, amen? You don't want to start out the rest of your life together as husband and wife with your husband in fear and trembling and shaking and thinking, "I thought you were someone else." Yeah, well, that's what happened. That's a Bible story. And there's no doubt there's many messages that God would have us to gain from this. But we're looking at this Bible character named Leah. So we're going to focus more on her tonight and what is going on in her life. Leah now, because of all this, would face self-worth issues. Is there any question there? If your dad did what he did, your sister now looks at you, and the Bible says that she is hated by her husband and her sister. She had nothing to do with it. It was not her will, but her father is the one who did this. And so now there would be self-esteem issues. She wouldn't feel very good about herself. There's other reasons why people don't feel very good about themselves. Everyone has a past. And sometimes Satan will use things that take place in our past to destroy our self-esteem. Because if he can destroy your self-esteem and make you feel worthless, then you'll live as if you're worthless. And you'll give your life to just drugs and alcohol and illicit sexual activities because what does it matter? I'm worthless. No one cares for me. I think that happens quite often in the day that we live in. Leah would have faced that. She would have faced some very deep depression. When her husband, she can't even converse with him because he hates her. The Bible says that in verse 31. And verse, if you look over there, the Bible says in verse 31, and when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, God said he saw that Leah was hated by her own husband now, Jacob, her own sister, her own family. She would have to face some purpose for life issues. Why am I even here? If everybody hates me, then why am I even living? Why am I here? What purpose is my life? Amen. Are you getting it tonight? Are you seeing here what's going on? If you put yourself in her shoes. Well, God has a love for Leah. And even though this all happened, I don't believe it was God's perfect will for this to happen, but if God allows him, that he can have something good come out of it. God hasn't caused everything to happen that's happened to you in your life. It's never been God's will for any child to be abused. It's never been God's will for somebody else to force their will on your will. It's never been God's will for you to go through some of those horrific situations that people go through in life. Not God's will. But because God has given all mankind a free will, then sometimes in allowing other men and people to have a free will, then their free will affect others' wills as well. And God only allows it, never is his will, but he allows it only if there's something good at some point can come out of it if they just continue to look to God. And I think we find this a perfect example of Leah. In chapter 29 and verse 32, we find here that Leah, even though self-esteem, self-worth, depression, purpose for life, all these different things now a part of her life, she would acknowledge God. In verse 29, chapter 29, verse 32, and Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord. Even in all this, Leah is acknowledging God, for surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction, but now therefore my husband will love me. She would acknowledge God, but focused on pleasing her husband more than on pleasing God. Now that's something we need to stop and think about there. Okay, you're focused on acknowledging God, but then you focus on, aren't I supposed to please my husband? You are. But the Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Can I tell you that the first one that we ought to acknowledge and look to please is Almighty God? And if you have the kind of husband that God wants you to have, then listen to me, he is going to point you to God. If you're pleasing God, you will please a godly Christian man. Laban was not very godly right here. I mean, Jacob was not very godly right here. The Bible says he hated her. So he hated his wife. He hated one, loved the other. I guarantee you, you have two wives, there's going to be some conflict in your life. But she thought, because now the Lord has looked upon me, she acknowledged God, children are heritage of the Lord, and she acknowledged that God looked upon her, opened her womb, and now this would cause her husband to love her, and she focused more on her husband's love than God's love. Even though she acknowledged God, but she focused more on Jacob. Verse 32. Well, it didn't happen. The Bible says, no, he did not win him over. Now he is putting all of his attention and love toward Leah. No, it didn't happen. So now, verse 33, and she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated. So here again, I'm acknowledging God. God is blessing me, but I'm not going to acknowledge God's blessings. I'm going to focus more on my husband's love for me. Even in the second son, even though Rachel was barren, it did not motivate Jacob to love Leah more than Rachel. And that's what she was focused on. Verse 34, and she conceived again. Now there's three boys, three sons. And that's what, especially in the Old Testament, that's what they were looking to, because they would be able to do more and accomplish more. But the Bible says here, and she conceived again and bare a son and said, now, this time, surely now, will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne three sons. Therefore was he his name called Levi. Didn't happen. It didn't happen. Still no joy. Still having self-esteem issues. Still having depression. Still focused on purpose for life. And then verse 35. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now. Fourth child, she finally gets her thinking straight. Now, will I praise the Lord? You can't let that which you can't control control you. You can't control your past. You can't control the effect that it had on your subconscious. You can't control how the effect it had on your mind and your self-worth and all these different things that we've just taught. You cannot undo what has been done. But you can change the way that you look at it. You can overcome anything in your life with God's help if we have right focus. The Bible says about Leah, all these things going on, and her focus was more on her husband. She acknowledged God and realized that it took God to open her womb, but she acknowledged God, but she did not focus on God. She put her focus on her husband's love. Now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing for a time. After the fourth child, Leah decided to focus on the Lord. And when she looked to control that which she could control and focused on the one who no doubt loved her more than anyone else. Can I tell you, there's no one that loves you like God loves you? He has proven. If you ever have doubt whether or not God loves you, listen to me. Jesus Christ is proof positive that God loves you. He was the only begotten Son of God the Father. He sent his only begotten Son to come to this earth to die for you. Even while you were yet dead in your sins, Christ died for you. He paid your sin debt. Why? Because of his love for you, God's love for you, his desire to win you back to Christ, to reconcile you. Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross shedding his precious blood was proof positive that Almighty Creator God, he knows what's going on in your life. He knows who you are, and he sent his son to die for you. If you were the only one that needed to be saved, if you were the only one that needed to have a Savior die for you, listen to me, Jesus would have come and he would die for you. Not only is he the Savior of the world, listen to me, he is my personal Lord and Savior. And he should be yours as well. Personal. Don't ever forget the love that God has for you. Don't ever lose sight of that. There's no one, no one who loves you like Almighty God loves you. That'll never change. So she decided that she would turn her focus on God, and she began to praise the Lord. In praising God, you'll find purpose. In praising God, you'll find joy. In praising God, you'll find peace. In praising God, you'll be able to overcome. I'm going to give you, based on the life of Leah and what God has given to us here, because as we look at this story, then we can apply it with New Testament biblical principles, biblical truths that Jesus Christ has established. And I'm going to give you three things tonight to do to overcome quickly. It won't be long. You have the story. I trust that you understand the story and what it took for her to finally get joy and peace in her life. She just focused on that which she could control, that which God enabled her to do, and that is to praise him. Can I tell you tonight, you're as close to God as you want to be? God has done everything in his power, and he is the creator of all things, to allow you to draw as close to him as you want to be. He desires us to walk close to him, but he'll not force that. I love the illustration of a robot. God did not make us robotic, because who wants to be loved by a robot? It's like when the grandkids come around. When they come around, they see Papaw, and my daughter says, "Go hug Papaw." "No, I don't want to." "Go hug Papaw, or you're going to get it." That takes something out of their hug, you know? It just takes something out of them coming up to you with tears being forced. But I guarantee you, when they open the door into my office and they see Papaw, they might be coming for the peanut butter, but they see Papaw, and their eyes get about this big, and a big smile comes on their face, and they reach out their hands, "Papaw, Papaw!" Can I tell you, that does more for me than what anybody can understand. Because it's a voluntary love. God wants a voluntary love. That's why you're not a robot. That's why you have a free will. God designed it that way. So that he would have pleasure. You would bring him pleasure. And the only way that you bring him pleasure is when you desire him, to worship him, and to praise him. So three things to do to overcome. The first thing that we find is acknowledge God and be thankful. She acknowledged God, but then she turned to her husband until the last, and then she praised God for what he had done for her. For who he was, if you will. According to Psalms 100, we come into the gates of God with thanksgiving. We come into his courts with praise. Unless you get into the yard, the courtyard, unless you get through the gates, you'll never get to the place of praise. You have to get through the gates. The way to get through the gates is with thanksgiving. And once you get into the courtyard, you get closer to God through praise. they somewhat go together. You cannot genuinely praise God without being thankful. That's what the Bible teaches us. Even though she spoke of the Lord, she was not thankful because she was focused on her life consisted. In order for her life to be meaningful, she had to be loved by Jacob. And if Jacob didn't love her, then her life was not worth living. She could not find joy and happiness because she was focused on Jacob's love instead of looking to God and praising Him. Was her life perfect? I think all of us say no. How could it be perfect when you're got two wives and you're both trying to get your husband to love you and you have all these conflicts and you have all this going on? All your dad gives you away. He has to deceive your husband to take you. Her life was not perfect. There was a lot of things there that could have and did bring depression into her life. But you choose what you focus on. No matter what's going on in our lives, we're required to give thanks. Wait a minute, was she being cared for? As far as we know, Jacob was a good provider. Did she have a baby? She continued to give birth. God opened her womb. At the very same time, God had closed the womb of Rachel. God requires His children to always give thanks. New Testament truth, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I think she finally realized this, and that's when she started to praising God. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5 and verse 18. I love chapter 5, especially the last 10 verses or so. It just gives so much insight into what we ought to do as living as born-again believers. But in verse 18, it says this, In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, no matter what's going on in your life, you need to look to give thanks somewhere, somehow, to God for some things. Now, if I break my leg, I'm not going to thank God that I'm going to have to go through the healing of the broken leg and all the different things, but I can thank God that, God, if you could have stopped it, if you allowed it, then you have a purpose involved in it. And God, I want to thank you because I know that through this trial of a broken leg, you have something that I can learn from. Amen. How do you give thanks for a broken leg knowing that nothing happens to the child of God without God allowing it? If God allows it, then there has to be something good that can come out of it because we have the promise of God for that to be true. I'm not thankful that I got a broken leg, but I'm sure thankful for the promises I have as I face going through a broken leg or whatever else that I might have to face. I just know, as I acknowledge God, it's His will for me to give thanks. Philippians in chapter 4, turn back with me. Philippians in chapter 4. This goes right hand in hand with that. It's where Leah finally got to this place. The Bible says in Philippians in chapter 4, very well-known passage of Scripture, verse 4 down to verse 7, but verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. When is always? Is always, does that mean all the time? Then if it's always, there's never a time when I shouldn't be rejoicing in the Lord. In the Lord, because He never changes. His love never changes. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto God, unto men, all men. The Lord is at hand. That means have a testimony no matter what you're going through. Be careful for nothing. Stop worrying about it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, Let your requests be made known unto God. And as you're making these requests unto God and you're looking to God for the answer to the prayers, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What a great way to live our lives. What a great concept that everyone can have. Even Leah. With all the problems that she's facing, she can have the joy of the Lord. And it begins with acknowledging God and giving Him praise. Acknowledge God and be thankful. The second thing is fellowship with others who give thanks and praise. Do you think that she would really have been well off and found joy and peace by trying to fellowship with her sister Rachel? Rachel hated her. Rachel had her own problems, and she was depressed because she couldn't have children. Get the two of them together with both of them drowning in self-pity. They're not going to be good for each other. They're not going to be able to help one another. You get people that complain and just are drowning in self-pity. Listen to me. They'll find somebody else who's drowning in self-pity, and they'll bring each other down. What you need to do is find somebody who is praising God, who has the joy of the Lord, and say, I want that to rub off on me. And be around those that are praising God. Be around those who are giving thanks. Fellowship with others who give thanks and praise God. Don't press relationships that you can do nothing about. You can't force somebody to like you. And you definitely cannot force somebody to love you. Can't do it. But there will be someone to praise God with you if you look for them. The church, Acts chapter 2. Can I tell you, when the persecution was so great upon the first century church, it was everywhere. They found their joy in coming together and praising God together. Giving thanks, even though they were under a lot of persecution, they had a lot of things to deal with, more than what you and I could probably even be aware of, but they came together and found relief in praising God and giving thanks. That's why we need the church. That's why we need to have the atmosphere of the church that we have here at the Lighthouse. An atmosphere not borrowing from the world. We don't want what the world has. We want to have an atmosphere of genuine praise and thanksgiving and an acknowledgement of the true Creator God. And when you come together, can I tell you, this will be a place of refuge. When you come together with the right mentality to come to worship God, you'll learn how to get along. You'll learn how to forbear. You'll learn how to let love cover a multitude of sins that people sin against you. You'll learn the importance of unity within the body of Christ. And when you come together with the purpose of worshiping God, you come together with the purpose of acknowledging Him, and you sing songs as we sing congregational songs, we can rejoice in singing those songs. And when you have specials like we have specials, we can rejoice and find joy and gladness in being ministered to the muse by the music and the specials. And we hear the Word of God being preached, we can be thankful for the truth that God will give, bring to us that will help us to deal with the things of life. Amen. And it will be a place of refuge. Praise God for it. Fellowship with others who give thanks and praise the God of heaven. The third thing in closing, get your mind off of yourself. her mind on herself was, poor me. My dad gave me away, deceived my husband. My sister hates me. My husband hates me. I need to just go out and eat worms. You ever felt like that? Yeah. Nothing's good in my life. No one cares. Would you just get your mind off of yourself? Do things for others. Do things for others that God brings into your life. And if you look around, I guarantee you, you'll find somebody who's in need of what you can do for them. And if you want to have the joy of the Lord, get your mind off yourself and look to help somebody else. Galatians in chapter 6, and we're getting ready to close here. Galatians in chapter 6, verse 7 down to verse 10. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I think Jacob understands that. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Give your life over to the will of God, directed by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is going to lead you into being used by God and getting your mind off of yourself. Because he goes on to say, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Doing things for yourself is temporal. Doing things for others will address the eternal. How true that is. She would now have four boys at this time. They needed a mother that has joy. They needed to learn how to be thankful. They needed to have an atmosphere, to be raised in an atmosphere of praise and thanksgiving. A bit worthy thing to give her life to, no matter what her sister thought. No matter what her husband thought. If you would continue the story, we find that later Rachel dies giving birth to her second child. God does open the womb of Rachel. Because from the loins of Jacob would come the 12 tribes of Israel. God would have purpose for every one of those boys. Rachel would die giving birth to the second child, which left Leah to have an impact on all the children and to be the only wife, living wife of Jacob. God has a plan. No matter what, God knows what he's doing. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek to please the Lord. Not only just acknowledging God, but put God first on your list of who you are to please. And when you do that, I think you'll find that you can overcome whatever the past. You can be a conqueror and live a victorious Christian life through Jesus Christ. Amen. What a great lesson from the Bible character of Leah. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed.